Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Comic Book Herald Live, everybody. I'm Dave Busing, founder and editor-in-chief of comicbookherald.com. Let's get the drama out of the way. First second. You're not here in the first second, you might miss the drama. That's what people are always saying about Comic Book Herald Live. All right, we got Bird Nerd here in the chat saying, I think I played you on Marvel Snap last night. You definitely played me on Marvel Snap last night. I'm putting my kid to bed. I'm putting my youngest to bed. He's playing forever. I queue up a little Marvel Snap Conquest. I'm having fun. I'm trying out a move deck. It's not my best deck. All right. I wasn't really trying. I go up, I get the first 8 cubes. What is it? 10? Is it 10 cube, right? You got to get 10 to win a conquest. I get the first 8 cubes. I don't lose a single one. It's a runaway. I'm the Bulls against the Hawks. It's just, I'm demolishing this competitor. And then I look at their name and I see Bird Nerd. I'm like, that sounds familiar. That sounds pretty familiar. And they're emoting like they just discovered you can do that. they're emoting and pointing at me like they just discovered you can do that. So I mute it. I'm like, what is this? And then the game keeps going. I lose a couple. Okay? I lose a couple rounds. All of a sudden, it's 4-2. Now, you may not know this about me, but I am decent at sports. Okay? I am decent at games. I could probably beat all of you at ping pong. Just throwing it out there. All right? Let's say 98%. One-on-one, 100%. Unless I got any bona fide NBA stars in the chat, but I don't think LeBron's here yet. Anyway, point being, I'm competitive, but I'm awful in the clutch. Just immediately get in my head. If I'm playing ping pong and I'm up like 20-14, I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen? And I will blow that game. If there's a game to be blown, I will blow it. Okay. So anyway, long story short, I got up big on the Bird Nerd, and they came back from I only needed 2 cubes, and they came back all the way and defeated me. And I was going to throw out a bunch of excuses. I was going to say this, I was going to say that. No, they just came back all the way, defeated me. And I was like, oh no, is that somebody I know from the CBH live stream? What are the chances of that? Like in Snap, they just like randomly assign you. And of course, it's going to be the first commenter on the live stream today. is gonna open the gateways to revealing that I am the biggest choker in the world. Thank you for being a good sport about that, Bird Nerd. It was a pleasure doing business with you. But yeah, hey, if you want to hop on Marvel Snap sometime, there's a decent chance I will be there as I put the kids to bed. So anyone can do that. Let's see. We got Open Mike Eagle says ping pong challenge accepted. All right. All right, let's do it. They've got a handful of ping pong bars here in the city, actually, in Chicago. I don't know if this is a thing everywhere or just here. We had a workouting in one of these ping pong bars, and let's just say my colleagues were not prepared for someone to not be able to not take it seriously. Everybody else is like, let's have fun. I'm like, I will play you. Let's play. No, I'm not that weird about it. All right. But yeah, seriously. Okay, so C2E2 is next weekend. All right, so Friday through Sunday, I'm going to be at C2E2 the whole time. I'm going to be covering C2E2 for Popverse. Popverse probably in the running for best comics news site. I think it's like Popverse and Comics Beat are like the two good ones at this point. I'm going to be working with them, be talking to some creators, writing up panel things. I'm going to be covering the James Tynion panel. They just, Tynion and Tiny Onion Studios, his production company, they just announced the sequel to Nice House on the Lake is coming from DC in the summer. It's going to be called A Nice House on the Sea. I'm super excited for that. But yeah, so I'm going to be there. So the point being, listen, after C2E2, maybe we hit up some ping pong bars. Okay, maybe I try to regain my mojo. I'm happy to make this my thing. If my thing now is just going to be, I challenge listeners from the live streams to like random events and games, and they just clobber me when it counts. I'm happy for that to be my thing, right? I think that's exciting. I need a new thing. We've been talking about this for a while. Listen, I staked my YouTube sort of like reputation, I guess, or like audience or build on a Hickman X-Men and Krakoa. It wasn't like a conscious thing, right? I wasn't like, this is my moment to hit it big. I just got really into it. It kind of coincided with the same time that I was like, hey, I should post some things on YouTube. I bet that'd be a nice way to grow CBH. And it blew up to the tune of 50K four verse, no album out, or something like that. Right? And here we are. And now you're one of the many, one of the proud listening to this live stream and hearing me talk about a bird nerd clobbering me in Marvel Snap. But the point being, you know, it's definitely, I think when people think of Comic Book Herald on YouTube, and certainly a lot of you, you think of like, oh, it's the Krakoa channel, right? Or like, oh, this is, they just talk about X-Men. And that's not a great place to be as the Krakoa era ends in miserable fashion, right? So I think it's freeing in a lot of ways to be like, okay, like let's move to just like other better comics and conversation. Listen, we can talk Bulls game tonight. We can talk Bulls, Coby White. I'll go into it. Let's do it. Okay. Point being, thank you all for being here. Thank you all for being here, because the X-Men coverage, at least on the comic side, is going to be dry for a while, right? But then, you know, one door closes, one Krakoa ends, and an X-Men 97 opens. And X-Men 97, the last two episodes are so good that it's got me forgetting they spent 20 minutes on a Mojo Nintendo advertisement for video games, right? Been pretty good lately. We'll talk about X-Men 97. We'll talk about the episode. Not nearly as spoilery. Definitely not as good or as emotional. Certainly as episode 5, but, you know, pretty purposefully walking it back, right? Pretty purposefully walking it back. Bird Nerd here very graciously after Bird Nerd, listen, to put this in context for those of you who don't play Marvel Snap, Warriors up 3-0 on the Cavs, okay? And that's what Bertner did to me. I blew a 3-0 lead, all right? Anyway, enough about that. Enough about that. Chris says, I'll beat you in arm wrestling. Yeah, for sure, actually. Now, I bet I'm stronger than you, but... I say that with no context. I bet I'm stronger than you, but no rotator cuff. Zero rotator cuff since I was about 16. So arm wrestling, specifically that movement, I've got no chance. You want to talk... something that show like squashing a watermelon between our thighs. I got that. I will watermelon squash ahead of anyone in the biz. And a lot of you would pay good money to see that. Let's be honest. Listen, I'm here to be honest. That's why I do these live streams. I'm not sugarcoating stuff. I'm not going to hide and not tell you the truth. Because listen, a lot of people right now aren't going to tell you the truth about what's going down. They're not going to tell you Fall of the House of X is one of the worst comics of all time. They're not going to tell you about Kevin Feige's secret role in the death and then resurrection of Kamala Khan. Reportedly, we'll talk about it. They're just not going to tell you the truth. But here, I'm here. I have nothing to lose. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Make me get like less committed to YouTube? Like, what's going to happen to me? They're going to shadow ban me from the comic? I'm not a part of comics. I just like talking about it. I just enjoy them. I enjoy them when they're good. I can be honest. I can tell you what's really happening. I don't have to pretend. That's one of the most freeing things, honestly, about CBH and just, like, the realities of having a publisher and how hard that is. in this environment and changes to Google and the AI explosion and just everything. It's like, it's actually kind of freeing to have less like monetary incentive in the work. Cause it's like, I don't have to pretend. I don't have to cheerlead. I can just say what's going on. Right. I can just say what's going on. And I sugarcoat it greatly. I'm very scared of confrontation. I definitely don't say my mind often. So I'm being in again, in full honesty. All right, what are we here to talk about today? Let's get into it. Okay, this week, getting your questions, getting your thoughts. If your question is Kobe White the greatest NBA player of all time? The answer is yes. Since Jordan, not better than Jordan yet. Got a big game on Friday. We'll see. Okay, but getting all your questions, getting your thoughts. News this week broke on, I don't know what it's called. It's a Spider-Man podcast. It's pretty good. I wish I knew the name of it because I want to give them fair credit. Superior Spider Talk, Amazing Spider Talk, something like that. The guy who does it, his name is Dan. They interviewed Cody Ziegler, who's been writing Miles Morales. He's part of the Spider-Man Beyond era. Was a writer on Marvel She-Hulk. On the Disney side, he's going to be writing Deadpool. And in that interview, it was reported, I read this on Comics XF, that Ziegler came out and said that, you know, that it was kind of unfair that everyone was blaming Zeb Wells for the death of Kamala Khan in Amazing Spider-Man, which I think on this live stream last year when that happened, I definitely either called it the worst death of all time or at least put it in, like, it's in the conversation for Marvel's worst death of all time, which I stand by pretty happily. I'm seeing here in the chat, it's Amazing Spider Talk. Thank you. On Amazing Spider Talk, they're interviewing Cody Ziegler. And Ziegler says it was kind of fair. Everybody's blaming Zeb Wells because that was an order put in by, as Ziegler put it, Daddy Feige. Now, the exact wording, the way this is told by Cody, was something to the effect of, you know, Kevin Feige came in and said, I don't do this very often. I'm paraphrasing. I want to move Kamala in this direction towards being a mutant. So I think a lot of folks, it turns out Kevin Feige has so many unpaid defense attorneys on Twitter. I did not know this until I tweeted about this news and shared some thoughts, but so many unpaid defense attorneys. And I just think that all of you doing the defense attorney work, you should start billing Feige. He can probably pay you. You got your law degree. You passed the bar. Like, collect on that if you're working hard. If you're working, period. It's hard enough out here, right? You should be getting paid for that, okay? So if you're working as a defense attorney for Kevin Feige on Twitter, like, send him the bill. Get paid for that. I think too many of you are not collecting, okay? But, so Ziegler puts that out there. He says it was Daddy Feige's idea. Now, that alone is fascinating to me, okay? That alone is fascinating to me because creators do not reveal that type of information. Editors don't reveal that type of information. Creators don't reveal that type of information. Like, almost ever. The history of comics is usually like, if there's a big editorial kerfuffle or like if editorial pushes for something that, you know, is hated by fans, generally speaking, the writers just eat it. They just get the blame for that, usually for years or decades before it comes out that it's like, oh, all those fan theories about it being editorial mandated, hey, turns out they were true. Like, the surest bet in comics is no matter how inane, no matter how rooted in nothing a fan theory is, that, like, the comics got pushed by editorial or the MCU, that even if it's the dumbest theory you've ever heard, that will eventually be revealed as true. like that is the surest bet. I was always super cynical of, well, just in general, right? I'm a Cubs fan. But like, I was always super cynical of the allegations throughout the 2010s that, like, oh, Marvel Comics, they don't care about the Fantastic Four. They don't care about the X-Men now because they don't have the rights to the movies. And I was always like, well, there's probably a little bit of truth in that. But also, like, they're Marvel Comics. It's, you know, they want to sell comic books. Like, it helps to have some of your biggest properties. Like, I never really bought that they were, like, intentionally making bad X-Men comics. so much as they were just in a cycle of like having not figured it out. But since that time, there's been a decent amount of reporting. And since the ouster of Ike Perlmutter, who was the head of Marvel forever and just a generally loathed figure, reputation as just being a cheapskate is, I don't know, but worse than that, certainly, right? That it was a push, that it was like a petty, like, yeah, we're not going to prioritize X-Men or Fantastic Four comics, you know? So it's one of those things where people will talk about it and kind of just enough people talk about it in circles enough that it sort of becomes this, like, I thought that was true. And it's like, well, what is that rooted in? Is there any reporting? Is there anything that actually substantiates that rumor? You know, I like to see something actually grounded that supports that before I'm willing to commit to the rumor and sort of the gossipy type narrative. Ziggler coming out and just straight up saying this stuff. Nobody does that. And especially nobody does that with Kevin Feige. Right? What's especially wild and almost like underrated here is obviously, like, as fans, I think a lot of us know there's like this MCU, like actors, like Hollywood people, like, you don't talk about the plot. You don't leak what's going to happen in the Marvel Studios side of things. And the unspoken part of that is like, very bad things will happen to you if you do. Right? Right? Like, I'm not going full mafia here on this. Okay, but the unspoken part of that is always like, RDJ won't spoil stuff. Meanwhile, you got Cody Ziegler out here like spilling tea. And good for him, honestly. Like, good for Cody defending his guy. I mean, truly, like, shouts to the idea of defending your guy for being put in a crap situation. Like I said, like 99.9% of awful Marvel decisions are eventually confirmed as editorial C-suite interference. It's very common. It just usually doesn't come out officially until years later. Here are two recent examples. Brian Edward Hill on Fallen Angels. I talked about at the time that comic book was not working. I thought it was the worst of the launch books. I also repeatedly said it feels like this book did not get the memo. It feels like Hill was not invited to the party. And lo and behold, in a very good interview on CerebroCast with Jonathan Hickman, Hickman came out, you know, 2-3 years later and was like, yeah, I felt bad. Hill didn't get invited to the party. He had prior commitments. He did not get the memos. No kidding. That's what the book read like. You know? And it's so unfair to Hill that it's like, well, the book came out and he just had to eat that for years. You know? And that's like a short-term one. That, you know, a bigger one would be like Chuck Austin, right? Or like J. Michael Straczynski on Spider-Man. Like, there are these things where you have editorial pushes and the writers just get stuck with the bag. And some of this, too, is like, you know, you make the best of the hand you're dealt, right? Like, just because you're given an editorial decision that, like, okay, Peter's marriage has to end, you know, you don't have to write one more day. Or like, you know, somebody, you know, or like, hey, you can't, Gwen and Peter can't have kids. Like, you don't have to make it Norman Osborn in Sin's Past. Like, there's still maybe poor creative decisions and some not very well-regarded comics, right, that can come out of that, and you can fight against that. Like, if Kevin Feige came in and said, hey, I think we should make Kamala Khan a mutant, first off, totally within his, like, responsibilities now as, like, the head of Marvel Entertainment. We'll get to that in a second. Okay? But, like, Zeb Wells does not then have to turn around and be like, oh, geez, okay, I guess the only thing I can do is kill her off as a tertiary character at best in a book that is not even her own. Like that didn't have to be the response. You know what I mean? It doesn't absolve what I think is a very poorly, very abysmally executed execution. But nonetheless, like, someone actually coming out and being like, that was an order from on high, specifically from someone with the reputation and the, I don't know, the power, the attention of Kevin Feige is really surprising. Like, I was genuinely shocked that this happened, that it was actually outed. Now, Marvel has since denied this. They have since denied this. Both Marvel Comics and Marvel Studios have come out and been like, I think the word their party line is basically like, yeah, it didn't happen that way. It was an editorial decision that everyone, you know, participated in. Which is what, on one hand, like, it's like, okay, that's kind of what you should say. That's the most normal, I guess, way this could have gone down. I don't think it's a bad thing if Feige makes pushes for Marvel Comics to align with elements of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that he deems important. Like, that is literally his job now. He oversees all of it. So if he's like, hey, it's important to me that the X-Men not be on an island and have more of a traditional flair, and then the comics move that direction, do any of us think that's not happening? That in and of itself is not like, it's not a crime, first of all. And it's also like not even inherently bad. It's kind of like, well, what do you do with that? You know? You can talk about whether you like it or not, but that's like, that's normal. Like, that kind of thing should happen. Now, Feige, you know, I think the way this got kind of misinterpreted, and I, you know, maybe played in this a little bit, but it's like, if Feige put in the order to, like, off Kamala, specifically, was like, here's how we do it, like, that becomes a way bigger story and a way bigger problem. Marvel is definitely denying that is the case, and that's not actually what Ziegler said. You'd have to ask him if that's what he meant, you know? But I think we can, if we take Ziegler's story as truth, but also sort of accept the Marvel version of events, probably the somewhere down the middle is like, we're going to make Kamala a mutant in the MCU. Can we do the same thing in the comics? Right? And then the actual execution of that became, okay, we got to kill her in Spidey and resurrect her through Krakoa. Which isn't like, it's all in the execution, right? It's all in the way that story actually got told. The problem, for me at least, is not that Kamala was resurrected as a mutant. I'm not horribly bothered by that. I like the Inhumans fine, but I was never like Kamala Khan to me could be totally... The version of that character that I really like is like mutant and inhuman agnostic. Like, she just happened to be conceived and launched as a new character, the second most popular new character in Marvel since 2010, 11, mind you, right? She just happened to be conceived during like that weird Inhumans push, you know, when Ike was like, I guess, reportedly, allegedly, we don't have the X-Men rights. Let's make the Inhumans a big deal. Y'all remember in like 2013, 2014, there was an event. Marvel was going to do an event called Inhumanity. Matt Fraction was going to write it. And then it just like didn't happen. They had to like, I don't know, like threaten maybe. I don't know. I'm just making this up. Like, Matt Fraction came back for like a one shot. Like, that was going to be a whole event. Kamala Khan spawns out of that. Kamala Khan comes out of the Inhumanity era. Nobody talks about the Inhumanity era for reasonable reason. But it's like, that's where she comes from. I'm not that attached to Kamala as an Inhuman. That doesn't bother me. We've talked about that stuff before. Okay? The actual, like, idea of it isn't the problem of making her a mutant. The problem is, well, how did he get there? And whose story are you telling? And who are you hurting by telling it so badly? You know? And Feige's not necessarily to blame for that. But anyway, this is all super fascinating. inside Marvel stuff. I think this is going to continue with the Lotto stuff, honestly, because, again, probably the truth is somewhere down the middle, but there was a recent, so I wasn't sure how to talk about this. There was a recent, I mentioned Popverse earlier, story by Chris Arant, great reporter, worked at, kind of ran Newsarama Comics for a long time, now at Popverse, and he wrote it's a members-only piece, I think, on Popverse. It's worth checking out, about Kevin Feige's sort of true takeover of Marvel Comics. And basically, the gist of the piece, and I won't spoil it entirely, but the gist of the piece is Ike Perlmutter's out. Kevin Feige is the head of Marvel Entertainment. He was super swamped with Marvel Studios stuff, but now that's sort of settling. And like throughout 2023, Arant's reporting that sources within Marvel are saying Feige's taking more of a hand in the comic scene, is having more input. It makes total sense that that would include things like hey, pushed for Kamala to be a mutant, pushed to get the X-Men off Krakoa. I'm making up that last one. It's just a guess. Okay? Just an educated guess, right? There's no reporting on that. It's not confirmed. I'm not saying it is truth. But it makes sense. So for me, it's like the conjunction, the combination of Arant's reporting on sort of this being like, oh, this is the moment where we realize we're living through Marvel Feige Studios. Like we're living through you thought Marvel Comics were like becoming the MCU before? Like now that's actually happening. Now that's actually happening in that they're overseen by the same person. And if they want something to happen, that's who Dan Buckley, the publisher of Marvel, reports into. You know, C.B. Sobolski reports up into him. I mean, there's a question in Ron's speech, was basically like, what is Sobolski even? What's his connection here, if at all? You know? So I absolutely think this, I think this is real. I guess is my take. You know, you got that reporting. Then you got Ziegler coming in and saying, yeah, like there was a push to make Kamala a mutant. Those two things to me in conjunction are kind of like, yeah, like this is going to be the Feige Marvel Studios era of the actual Marvel Comics landscape. And we're going to see throughout this year, like kind of what that looks like, whether we like it or not. I think all of that ties into this, you know, putting Tom Brevoort on the X-Men. Again, like Brevoort's telling that story, it was like, I was called into Dan Buckley's office. I was called into the publisher's office. And he was like, I got a big push for you. You know, we're going to take our most senior editor and move them onto X-Men and transition that franchise out of the Krakoa era. You can tell me that's not Feige Disney influenced at all, but I don't really buy it. Especially when you got X-Men 97, Wolverine, Deadpool this summer, and then, of course, future X-Men projects. You know? So, I don't love the idea of it. But at the same time, it's like, all right, let's see what those comics look like this year. Because 616 right now, I'm not into 616. I'm a lifer on Marvel Comics, okay? I'm Bears, Bulls, Cubs, Marvel. But I'm not in on 616. I like the Ultimate Universe right now. I don't really like, I'm not really reading any 616 except for like Immortal Thor outside of just like curiosity of keeping up kind of stuff. You know, that's where I'm at. So let's see. Is this going to be, you know, I think there's a fear that it's like, oh, Marvel's, if it's MCU, it's going to be, you know, super safe and it's going to be a boring version of Marvel Comics. And I don't think it's going to be like, I don't think the comics are just going to become the MCU universe. That's not what I'm saying. Right? I think they still want the comics to lead and be creative and have some ideas, but I think they're going to want a little more synergy. I think they're going to want, you know, the characters you see on screen are the same characters you can find in these books, you know? So anyway, all that seems to be happening. Honestly, my biggest concern at this point is not for Feige at all. Like honestly, like the drama of this is that it looks bad for Feige if he came in and basically it looks bad for anyone who has a hand in the death of Kamala Khan at Marvel Comics, because that story was abysmally told. It's awful. And anyone who has like a hand in that has a kind of a negative reputation, right? Nobody came out of that looking good. And they've had Zeb Wells holding the bag. They've had Nick Lowe holding the bag. Okay, Feige, I don't know. Like for me, it's like as a leader, it'd be a lot cooler if Feige was like, you know, they did what I asked them, like, and took some onus, like took some leadership. That doesn't seem to be a thing he does, at least regarding the comics yet. I don't know. Maybe there's opportunity for that. Maybe it's not even true. I don't know why Ziegler would just straight up make this up. Like, can you think of a more damaging career move to just make up a story that Feige's involved? Why would you do that? like my only real concern at this point is Ziegler defended his guy, Zeb Wells, fellow creative, fellow writer. And now it's like, well, how many issues of Deadpool is he going to get? Is there going to be retaliation? You know? Are they going to cut off the Miles run? Are they going to stop giving him Marvel work? Listen, I'm not going full mafia here. But let's just say Zeb held the bag on the Kamala death of stink. And he's involved in Deadpool and Wolverine 3 as a writer. He got that gig. Is that totally unrelated for a very talented individual? Maybe. Very possible. Just throwing it out there. All of a sudden, Zeb's on She-Hulk. Zeb's on Wolverine and Deadpool. You know, he did his time. He took one for the team. I don't know. There's a possibility there. This is based on nothing. Except for my experiences in the mafia. By watching Sopranos. All right. Getting your questions. Getting your thoughts. What do y'all think? I'm going to get a drink. Get in your thoughts. Voss asks, what did Ziggler say? Why are we talking about this and not comic books this week? Did you just join? Good grief. Step into a conversation 20 minutes down the line. Jumping in. Like he'd... Good grief. Oh, boy. This is comics adjacent. Don't you worry. Just says, Hellions is a classic. Zeb Wells, they can never make me hate you. Hellions is so good. Hellions is so good. Zeb Wells is talented. I think all of the weirdest elements of, like, Spider-Man fandom who are, like, they hate Zeb Wells because they don't like his Spidey run kind of thing. Like, lunatics. Lunatics. Like, the idea that, like, Zeb Wells is a hack or whatever. Like, listen, you cannot like a Spider-Man run. I'm not that into it. Right? I think this Death of Event was one of the worst Death of Marvel's ever done. Hellions was so good. Zeb's New Mutants was good. Shed. Remember when Zeb made Lizard eat his boy? I don't know, is that good? I think that comic's actually good. they just made Lizard eat his boy. That's not a good thing. You shouldn't eat your boy. Right? I think we can all agree. All right. Get in your questions. Get in your thoughts. Justin says, bro, what about Ryan North on Fantastic Four? What about it? As far as good 616? Yeah, you're right. No. That's fair call. 616, okay. I overstated it. There are decent 616 books. There are not... North's Fantastic Four is pretty good. But pretty good is about the ceiling for 616 right now. That's the ceiling. I don't stop my ceiling at pretty good. I'm looking for great. I'm looking for the best. Because you know what? If Marvel doesn't have stellar comics, you know what I never run out of? You know what I have tried. And you know what I never can't find? Good comics. Great comics, even. Always popping up. They're always showing up at my house. Listen, I got this mic right here. Stacked on good comics. Oh, that's not the camera. We got Death Strikes here. Uh-oh, shouldn't show you the library codes. I got this fear. I got this concern that if people see my library codes, they're going to, like, find me. That might be irrational. I don't know. I just don't. Listen, I'll say hi to you at C2E2. I just don't want to see you outside of that, okay? And I definitely don't want to see you on Marvel Snap. Let's not let that happen again. Especially if you're going to clobber me. Oh, that was embarrassing. Okay. What else do we got? Soldier 21 says, Pedro Pascal as Reed is another disappointment. You saw the movie. You saw it? You saw it? Where'd you get your copy? I didn't even think they filmed yet. Soldier, you got to share. Where's Fantastic Four at? Where can we all watch this? You know what I'm going to watch, actually? I think I might watch Alien. I think I might watch the original Alien. And the reason I say that is not because any of y'all convinced me every time I bring up that I haven't seen Alien and you jump in and say, oh my God, have you not seen Alien? What the hell's wrong with you? You call yourself a nerd? You call yourself a man? I hear it. I hear y'all saying that. I haven't seen it because I never had a Jonathan Hickman written Alien comic before. That was announced today. Jonathan Hickman and Esad Ribich, the superstar team behind some of my favorite Marvel comics like Ultimates and Secret Wars, are doing Aliens vs. Avengers. Aliens vs. Avengers. Or no, Alien. Is it plural? I don't know. I don't care. 4-issue mini crossover in the grand tradition of like Frank Miller and Walt Simonson's RoboCop vs. Terminator, which is probably my favorite just nonsense smash the toys together crossover, primarily because it's Frank Miller and Walt Simonson. Listen, I saw this news. I think I'm going to watch Alien now. If I like it, maybe I'll watch Alien 2. And if some people seem to have a thing for Prometheus. I don't know. Does it just go Alien, Aliens, and then Prometheus? Is that my journey? Y'all are going to have to walk me through the reading order on Aliens here. No, I truly have never seen Alien. I don't think I've even seen the clip where the little brood comes out of the girl's belly. Like, obviously, I know about it, but I don't know that I've actually even seen that clip. Okay? You can unsubscribe because of this. That's fair. That's fine. Listen, I don't do this for any sort of significant, you know, metric. Okay, but I think I'm going to watch those movies. I'm curious now. I finally watched Predator within the last few years. Not as good as Prey, but, you know, it was worth catching up on. Anyway, Hickman doing Aliens vs. Avengers with Issa Rivich. Listen, it's going to be a fun, zany, throwaway 4 issues. It does, there's a part of me that is like, you got Hickman and Rivich for a project and you got them doing this? You got them doing alien toy smashing? What the hell? But you know what? Like, dude's put in his time, right? Dude's put in his time. You know, I mean, he has done the work. He doesn't need to come out here and do a flipping, you know, Doctor Guardians run or whatever. So I don't know. What do y'all think? Are y'all excited about Hickman Rivich Alien vs. Avengers? I think part of it too is I just don't care about Alien vs. Avengers. I guess that's the big thing. You put any other creative name on this outside of, like, you know, Grant Morrison, and like, I'm not reading that comic. I just don't care. But maybe that'll change after I watch Alien. Chris says maybe Hickman had a killer pitch. Maybe Hickman's been like working them for decades, right? Maybe he's like, this is the one thing I want to do is have the aliens versus the Avengers. I saw somebody, I think it was Dustin on Twitter, tease like, what if Alan Moore just like came back to DC and he was like, all I want to do is Godzilla. Like, that is a little bit what it feels like. Can you, man, I'd like, but what if Alan Moore was just like, for decades, it was like, listen, DC, I would love to write your Godzilla comic books. And DC is like, excuse me, Alan, we only have, that's a Marvel license. Or at this point, I think it's IDW. Listen, all I'm here to do is write Godzilla comics. If you don't have any of those for me, you can bugger off. You know, like, what if that was his thing? I hope it is. I truly, truly hope it is. Okay. What are we doing today? Good grief. We talked about the news. We talked about Hickman and Rivich. Hibich? Is that what their like couple's name is? Are we doing this? Are we talking Fall of the House X? Do we have to? I don't know. What do y'all want to talk? Like, okay, fine. I'll do it quickly. Okay. First, a couple X-Men 97 thoughts. Show's still good. I wish I hadn't gone back and watched Motendo. Really left a sour taste in my mouth after having watched the episode 5, where I was like, oh, this is actually good. Like, this is... Like the fifth episode of X-Men 97 was so good that it actually had me thinking, like, oh, like, they should just have anime of superhero comics all the time. Like, why have we not been doing this? You know? why have we not, after House and Powers, like, the next year on Disney, there should just be an anime of House and Powers. Like, why are we not following that model in Supes? That's how good the fifth episode, I don't know that that's actually a good idea, but that's how good the fifth episode of X-Men 97 was. And then I went back and I watched Motendo in the last, like, 5, you know, minutes of, like, cramming in life death, and I was like, oh, right, like, this is why we don't. This is why I don't need that. But then the sixth episode, the actual new one, I was like, oh, okay, now we're moving in interesting directions again. We got Charlie Ballgame out in Shi'ar space. Of course he's fine. Of course he's being healed by the Shi'ar. We got, I love, it really tickled me that they took their shots at Ronan the Accused. Nobody has had, if Marvel Studios has a project and they have even a whiff of a chance to take shots at Ronan the Accuser, they're going to be taking them. He won. He's the only winner of my There Is No Mandarin Award for most thoroughly wasted villain in a Marvel movie. He's the only two-time winner because he won once for Guardians for being a horrible villain. And then he won a second time, I think in Endgame. Doesn't he show up as just like worthless trash in Endgame? So he's the only two-time winner. And then, of course, he just gets his butt handed to him by Gladiator and X-Men 97. So I appreciated that they kept that tradition going. It was fun. It was good. I like what happened. It had me thinking, too, I'm kind of into X-Men 97 doing the Professor X redemption tour. I'm kind of into Professor X, like, actually being aspirational and not just a devious, compromised monster. Listen, that suit fit through the Krakoa era. I'm not really complaining about the direction in the right hands, a la Hickman and Gillen. I think that worked pretty well. But, like, I'm kind of into, like, Professor X actually not being a jerk. For a minute, he's still flawed. There's still going to be critiques of his politics, critiques of his hypocrisy. That's all still very much in play. But, like, I think the whole, like, Professor X is a jerk thing has been really played out over the last 25 years. No, 20 years of X-Men books. I don't know. I'm kind of here for them, like, not, like, digging too deep into that. I think they might. I think they might still. I've seen that song before. And that's how I experience music. I see it. I've seen that song before. Nothing wrong with that sentence. Anyway, X-Men 97, still pretty good. I'm excited for the three-part finale. Oh, I did love the ending. Listen, I know some of y'all are, it's a little spoilery, so I won't actually say who it is. I know some of you all are, like, burned out on this character. I was here for it. I gotta say, worked really well for me. I'm very excited for the three-part finale. I did not start off very excited about this series. Now it's like, yeah, every Wednesday I'm thinking, like, oh, I should watch X-Men 97. I was not there, now I am. That's good. I'm excited about it. They're doing a nice job. You know what else is doing a nice job? Ultimate Black Panther number 3. Ultimate Black Panther number 3, really solid. I feel like not a lot of people are talking about it because, like, you know, it's in the middle and just solid is kind of, you know, it's not as dramatic or whatever. This is a great entry point for comics. Like, if you're a newish reader and you want a good Black Panther book to pick up, like, pick up Hill and Caselli's Ultimate Black Panther. Great entry point. I really like the whole build of, like, you got Killmonger and T'Challa, you know, kind of aligning now by way of Professor and Magneto. Like, this is the part of them sort of becoming friends and understanding each other's philosophies, even though you know the break is coming, right? That's how these stories go. But nonetheless, it's interesting. It's actually, in some ways, very exciting to see them on the same side of the fence. Then you got Storm in the mix. And the mystery of this, like, green alien material they're guarding amongst the vibranium that the Moon Knights maybe are coming for. Like, I'm all in on this Ultimate Universe. I mean, I've said it many times, but, like, this is the Marvel Universe you want to be reading right now. And it's this nice blend of, like, this is probably the most familiar book of the bunch. But I really like Caselli's art, and I love Hill's pacing. He's got a great sense of pacing on these books. And, you know, if they can build this to something cool with surprises and the Maker and all the Moon Knights going on, like, it all, I think the cool thing about Black Panther right now, too, is it actually feels, it's the only book of the three that have launched so far that is actually, like, doing anything with the Maker's Council because you got the Moon Knights in play. You know, Ultimate Spider-Man has taken its time. It hasn't really gotten there. Ultimate X-Men is 100% doing its own thing, you know? I'm digging this comic. I'm very into where the Ultimate Universe is at. Next week, we are going to do an Ultimate Universe deep dive with a very special guest, I believe. I should probably confirm this before I say it, but it's going to be Owen Likes Comics. It was a very good, very popular YouTube channel that you all should check out. We're going to be talking full Ultimate Universe. That's going to be next week. And should be fun. Should be a good time. All right. What else came out this week? We're going to talk about Roxxon Thor. Okay, so Immortal Thor is doing a one-shot special where Thor has been like magically corrupted by the Enchantress and Roxxon into the comic that they're publishing about Thor, where he's the Roxxon Thor, aka Chad Hammer, a leading influencer in AI-based hedge funds. Shouts to Al Ewing for perfecting that job title. This is what if Al Ewing and Greg Land made the worst comic they can make, but as an intentional parody of all of the problems of corporate-owned comics. And it is horrible, but funny, but super heavy-handed. I have to say, listen, I'm a leading Al Ewing propagandist. This is well documented. I definitely prefer a more subtle parody, one where it feels like it's wild that Al's been getting away with it, which I think he has done. He's done it in the pages of Defenders, and he's been doing it throughout Immortal Thor. I like it when it's surprising and scathing and a jab at sort of the bars with it, you know, within which he chooses to work. Like, let's be clear, this is such a heavy-handed parody. It has huge Marvel non-brand ek energy, or like even like Mad Magazine. You know, it is well executed for what it is doing. It's just it's like a joke that goes on too long. Not that I'd know anything about that. I think in a lot of ways, I mean, Greg Land was a great fit. I would love to know. I would really love to know. It lands in on the joke, I believe. Like, Land is in on making this a funny comic. I don't really doubt that for a second. I actually think he pulls it off pretty well. But at the same time, I would love to hear how they convinced him that he was the perfect artist to make the worst comic. You know? How did they phrase that? How did they sell that? Because just that, like, soulless porn star tracing that he has become famous for and had a lot of success with is, like, a deliriously perfect fit. But it's like, how do you say that to someone without being a dick? I just want to know. I feel like it's going to come up in my life where I have to have that conversation. It's worth reading. I'm still, with Immortal Thor, I'm like, maybe it's the most interesting Marvel 616 book, but I don't know that I love it. So that I was kind of getting at that earlier. Like, I've been thinking about this lately. At any given time, you should be able to say, as like a Marvel fan, like, oh, this is their number one book. Like, if you can't read anything else, read this one great comic. I don't know what that is right now. I'm excluding the Ultimate Universe. You can't say Ultimate Spider-Man. What if someone asks you at your comic shop, like, hey, what's the best Marvel book right now? What's a great Marvel book? I don't think they have a great book. I think they have some good ones, but I don't think they actually have a great book right now. And I think that's part of the problem, you know, with getting a little turned off about this Feige era, at least at this juncture. Doesn't mean there won't be one. These things all go in cycles. There'll be another one soon, you know? But it's like, what is that book right now? It was House and Powers. It was maybe Hickman's X-Men. It was Immortal Hulk. Yeah, Kate's early days, Kate Stegman Venom was in the mix. For that, you had, I don't know, Lemire Smallwood, Moon Knight, Vision. And then now you're back to Secret Wars and the whole Hickman Avengers era. It's been pretty easy to say for the last like 14 years. This year, I have no idea what that answer is. I don't think there is a good answer. You know? Now, if you throw in the Ultimate Universe, then you could be like, yeah, there's, you know, that, like, Ultimate Spider-Man is probably the like most likely, this has a chance to be truly great, and it's a great entry point kind of book. Woodrow says not enough porn stars in Roxanne Thor. That's fair. That's actually probably the most fair criticism I've seen of it. There could have been more. It was interesting to see, like, sort of a referendum on Al Ewing after this issue. I saw, you know, some critics that I definitely like and respect who were like, you know, it's kind of calling out Al for, like, okay, like, you're poking at the system, right? And you're making fun of sort of the corporate capitalist overtures of all these superhero comics. But that's also all you do is make those comics for them, for their coffers, you know? Which I think is why I prefer the parody when it's more subtle. Like, it to me, it feels more punk. When Al Ewing in the pages of Defenders is like calling out the endless regurgitation of events. Like, to me, it's like he slipped one by the censors. Whereas this is like, this is clearly approved. It's a whole ass issue doing this, you know? And then it's just less, then it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just less cool. You know? It's like if your protest is approved well in advance, you know? Like, you're not really sticking it to them. So I wasn't moved especially by this comic. I had higher hopes for it than it probably delivered. Nonetheless, I like the idea of it. It's kind of good that it happened. Let's see. Bird Nerd says it is a huge problem. Venom was good, not great. Immortal Thor is not great, in my opinion. Yeah, I don't think it's there yet. Let's see. Justin says, shout out to Spider-Boy for carrying the entire line. Fresh news. I guess Spider-Boy is the flagship book now. Is this a gag? Please. Surely. Surely this is a gag. What else? Any other suggestions? Kenji says Fantastic Four by North. It's got a couple votes. That's good. What else do we got? Bill's asking about Donny Cates' AMA yesterday. I don't know. Did anything interesting come of that? I saw a few answers, and it was kind of like, I was curious. Like, I hope he's doing well, and I was curious to see, like, what he might be doing, but it seemed mostly all the answers I saw were just somebody who was, like, kind of, like, making fun of the concept of doing an AMA, which is a choice. Okay. Is there anything we didn't talk about yet? Oh, Fall of the House of X. Okay. I have one important thing to say. I told you. I told all of you. I've been saying it for a long time now. I think this book is the actual worst of the Krakoa era. And I'm not even saying that from a place of, like, anger or sadness and disappointment. I just think objectively that's true. Primarily because of the expectations and where it sits in the landscape and what it is trying to mirror and do. Like, the objectives of this book, you know, are the objective, like you set out, what's the goal statement? What's the mission statement for Fall of the House of X? Satisfyingly conclude the Krakoa era of X-Men. It is an abject failure at that. It is truly bad at it. And I'd be pretty forgiving, I think, of the difficulty of that, because that is a very high degree of difficulty thing in the best of circumstances. And these are clearly not the best of circumstances. Okay? Everyone is so desperate for this thing to end. I can't remember the name. I apologize because I think they might be a listener. But they tweeted and they're basically like, you know, is editorial rushing them kind of thing? I don't think you can even blame editorial. Again, I think this comes from higher up than that. I talked about it at the front of this. You know, I think everyone's hand was forced. And they're just trying to get through it. And it's like, you know, like, imagine if you were getting pushed out of your job by, you know, whatever, somebody you didn't. Whatever, it doesn't matter who they are, but you're getting pushed out of your job. And then at the same time, you gotta, like, your work's also, like, public and visible to others, you know? And they're, like, grading you on it as if nothing was wrong, you know? Like, this is everyone, I've said it before, this is everyone's worst work. Everyone involved. I'm not mad at any single individual, but the end result, at the end of the day, the product is bad. Like, it just is. It just is. My new working theory is it's like the kid from Air Bud yelling at the dog. Y'all remember the movie Air Bud when the kid is like in tears, like, get out of here. Like, go away. And he's trying to save the dog. He loves the dog. The dog can shoot like a MF-er. Okay? Hasn't missed a three in a single game. But he's trying to get that dog to run away for his own good. I think Fall of the House of X is that kid yelling at us for our own good. Fall of the House of X is the mean, sad kid in Air Bud. And we're the dog. And you know what? It's making it easier to be done. Like, it really is. It makes it a lot easier just to be done with the Krakoa era. I'm still interested in how Gillen's going to try to tie some things together. But that's it, and that's been it for a while. I mean, there was a time when I would have had so much to say about Charlie Ballgame making a deal with Orcus and Nimrod and Omega Sentinel. I would have had so much to say. I would have had Blurred on here. We'd have been going through that data page line by line. Those days are behind us, my pals. I can't even justify discussing it. It'd be like storing water in a plastic bag full of holes. Like, there's just nothing to this book. The weirdest thing about it by far is that it's like reading a comic made by someone who's never done it before. Like, it's like reading a comic made by someone who's never thought about pacing, plotting, location, perspective, like any of the fundamentals of comics. And even at my most critical, I would never have said that about anyone involved. I would never have said that about Duggan's X-Men run. I would never have said that about Lucas Wernick's Immortal X-Men, which I liked. I never read issues of X-Men, like, completely unclear how we got somewhere or what the hell was happening, you know? And that is happening constantly in Fall of the House of X. It is a comic untethered from, like, some of the most fundamental Cape comic, like, rules of decency. It is so, so bad. And, like, it's the flagship event to end it. You know? Just, like, it's just a disappointment that this is kind of, you know, it's like we couldn't have committed for two more months to doing this right. You know? But, no, they could not. So, anyway, those are my Fall of the House of X thoughts. It's so poorly crafted as a comic that I'm totally disengaged from the ideas. And the ideas within, maybe big picture, would be, like, kind of interesting, or, like, at least, like, worthy of discussion, right? Like, whatever the leap here is with Professor X being, like, see, but even, okay, so, like, Professor X goes to Orcus, and he didn't remember, like, in Rise, he didn't kill Moira. Now he's showing up, and he's like, all right, here's plan C. And he goes to Orcus, and he's like, all right, Nimrod, I'll make you a deal. If you just, you know, let us have Krakoa. Like, just let us, like, leave us alone on Krakoa. Like, go ahead, like, kill whoever you want. I don't care. But just let us have Krakoa. This doesn't make sense on so many levels. But, like, the first level that it doesn't make sense on, is Nimrod's like, yeah, that satisfies my mission parameters. The mission parameters to exterminate mutants? How so? Monsieur Nimrod? In what way does that satisfy your mission parameters? Okay? And I can, I guess, buy this like, depressed descent of Charlie's, I guess, pragmatism. But also, Charles, my guy, do you not remember being on your knees at the Hellfire Gala when Orcus was like, yes, send your mutants through the gates, no problem. And then you thought they killed them all? And now you're going to make a deal with them and be like, in good faith, Well, I should make this handshake deal with the mutant killing robots. Come on. Come on. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Listen, I am telling you for your own health, do not read this book. You don't need to. The only reason I did was so I could talk about it here with you. I did that for you. You're welcome. All right. Final questions, final thoughts. Let's wrap this puppy up. Justin says, I legit just want From the Ashes to get here so Fall of the House of X is over. I mean, it is kind of smart in that regard. Because I've seen that attitude from a number of people now. Where they're like, oh, I can't wait for the next era. Whereas if this ends well, you've probably got more people being like, I miss Krakoa. So like nefariously, strategically, it's kind of brilliant. Right? By Marvel. You're like, we're going to end this thing so bad that those desperate X-Men fans are going to be longing for anything new that isn't this. I mean, what a Machiavellian play. I've never read Machiavelli. I don't know if that's really Machiavellian. I think that's what they're doing. They're making you like From the Ashes by making you hate Krakoa. I'm not interested in From the Ashes, I gotta say. So far, I have not seen a thing that has made me excited about it. I hope maybe that could change. Xavier says, we can hope that Xavier has a real plan, can't we? Xavier, you know, I just realized all of your questions should have to be about Professor X. New rule in the chat. No, we can't hope that he has a real plan. I don't care at all. The way this was so, the pacing from Rise to this, it just like, I don't even know how Charlie got here. So no, I don't have any faith in like a genuine plan. I do think too, like the thing we know about From the Ashes solicits is like, they've got a mysterious prisoner X. I mean, it's Charlie. It's probably because he tried to kill all of the humans. All right. Okay. Let's see. Vas says, done. I dropped it. Good. Good for you. I'm glad to hear it. Banksy says, the poor construction makes all the threads that Hickman left hanging stick out even more, and it makes me sad. Hickman's full Krakoa era would have been epic. Maybe his best work ever. I mean, that's a stretch. Maybe. But that's, like, sure. Bulls might be winning titles with Lonzo, right? Yeah, I mean, that's a woulda, coulda, shoulda. You can't live in that. I'm going to stick with, because it makes me less sad, I'm going to stick with my rooted in nothing theory that Hickman got out because he didn't know how to land the plane. He got out because he didn't know how to land the plane, and he left it to everyone else to try to do that. Everyone's just assuming that it would have been great. But the reality of my made-up theory is that even your god Hickman didn't know how to get out of this. Do I think that's true? No, but it helps me sleep. All right. Chris says, I think Dave has been driven insane by bad comics. I hear that a lot. I get that a lot. No argument at this time. Us says, next era looks bad. It doesn't look bad. It just looks fine. It just looks like more of the same. It looks familiar. That's what I find not interesting about it. Bird Nerd says, Duggan was paid to throw the game. Can't rule it out. Definitely can't rule it out. Banksy says, let's start a release the Hickman cut push. You know, I definitely, if in like 2-3 years, they do like a what if, you know, or an X-Men Legends type thing, but like what if style, and it was like, you know, what if Hickman finished the Krakoa era kind of thing, and it was his version, I think I'd have to not read that. Because it would bum me out so much. Like the word, like I don't think he would do that. Actually, I think he seems to have some pretty genuine, solid ethical beliefs around like how to treat other creators around you, you know. But like, if that was even like kind of good, how would that not just make you like sad as hell? That would suck. It'd be horrible to see that. You know? Let's see. Plantain Power says Zoe couldn't do it with LeBron. Yeah, but he could have with Caruso and Zach LaVine. Dave, would you drop your team when they lose matches? Should we? Yeah, I've talked about the sports, you know, comics fandom parallels. I feel like a lot lately, you know, and it's like, no, I would never drop my team. But I would have like at least enough pragmatism to be like, well, I'm not watching every Cubs game if they're going to win 60 games and not make the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to waste a lot of time on bait. But I think the reality then is the hard part about that for me is like, well, I would just not watch a lot of baseball then. And I can't physically, I just can't not read a lot of comics. I can't. I am incapable of that. You know, like in football, football's a better comp because if the Bears suck, which obviously has never happened, but if they suck, you know, I can kind of adopt my dad's team. I can kind of be like a half Packers fan for a year. You know, usually the games are sporadic enough that I can kind of adopt. Like I like watching the Chiefs. You know, I can kind of adopt other teams and get my football fix. But it's like I'm still a Bears fan. I just don't want to engage with them in this moment. But I'll come back when they're good. You know, like they're still my team. You know, it's just like you don't have to torture yourself with awfulness in anything. Right? But no, you shouldn't drop like your X-Men fandom. But you shouldn't buy all the books if you're not excited about them. I think the problem with that, like the problem with that mentality is people are just like, well, I'm just an X-Men fan, so I just always buy the X-Men books, right? It's like, yeah, but now you're just like, Marvel's banking on that. And then the quality of them does not matter, you know? Like, I one thing that I have found, and I always find this weird, but in comics, like, your purchase does kind of matter. Like, not that many people buy comic books. It's a weird thing to do. You know, it's very easy to not buy comic books and still read all the comic books. If you know what I'm saying. There was always money in the banana stand. But like, you shouldn't buy all of them if you're not excited about them. Because that's talent, that is voting to Marvel that like, oh, we're doing the right thing here with X-Men. And the reality might not be. So you actually do have, I'm not saying boycott X-Men, right? But I'm also saying don't just blindly Marvel zombie your way through an area you're not into. It's not good for you, it's not good for your wallet, and it's not good for everyone else who reads the comics. You're hurting everyone. Randall says, do you think Duggan will still be at Marvel later this year? Ooh. Well, considering he threw Fall of the House of X in order to support From the Ashes, you know, maybe they reward him. Maybe he steps away to do his own thing. I don't know. Let's see. What else do we got? 20 years later, and they drop X-Men Legends by Hickman. No chance. Listen, I can promise you that with the amount of money he's grifted out of me from his Substack, he will not, should not be in poor enough financial standing in 20 years that he has to, he has to come back and do a What If X-Men comic. I would not wish that upon the individual. Michael asks, how long does the FTA era last? So I do think this is an interesting question. Is From the Ashes a long-term X-Men thing, or is it a stopgap? Because you remember when James Tynion stepped off Batman? And then it was like, oh, it's the Josh Williamson era of Batman. And there was like 6 issues. You know, sometimes you get these stopgap things. From the Ashes is definitely not just like, I mean, it's multiple books. You got a whole new editor on the thing. It's got a little stopgap energy, but I kind of doubt it. So I'm going to say, that's a tough one. I mean, at least 2 years. I'm going to give it 2 years. And then maybe there's kind of like an era overhaul, but probably like a handful of the same people stay involved would be my guess. I don't think it's super temporary. Boss says, Dave, are you interested in Deadpool and Wolverine World War III? Yeah. Yeah, I think I will be. I like Deadpool, the first movie, quite a bit. I love Hugh as Wolvie. Deadpool 2, I actually did not hate nearly as much as a lot of folks. So yeah, I think by the time it rolls around again, I'll be into checking it out. Let's see. Banksy says, pirate Fall of the House? Honestly, even pirating it feels like too much of a vote of confidence. You know? Do we want the pirates to think that's what we want from them? Surely not. Just says, Duggan is a made man now. Yeah, I think that might be true. Chris admitting to crimes. I'm just going to notify the FBI really quickly. Okay, final question. Let's do it. Fresh News asks, could Bendis return to Marvel? You know what? I'll ask him when I interview him. Talking to Brian soon. I call him Brian. He's my good friend. I'll ask him. I don't think so. That doesn't feel like a great move for either party. You know? I don't think that's right. I think they're having a nice time doing creator owned stuff. Phenomena. Phenomena. Brian Michael Bendis and Andre Lima Arroyo. Phenomena. It's like a YA book, but it's also like the best. Check it out. Phenomena Book 2. It's out right now. Book 1 came out, I think, last year. It's one of my favorite books. Arroyo is one of my favorite artists in comics right now. It's really cool. Check it out. Okay. Last question. Whoever has the best question gets their last one. Banksy asks, do you think Hickman will ever spill the beans on any parts of where his story was going, or does he just take it to the grave? I think maybe on parts, but never the whole thing. I could see parts, but probably not the whole thing. All right. Thank you all for listening today. Appreciate you being here. Good job. Good job by you on the questions. Well done, everybody. Bulls play tomorrow against the Heat. No Jimmy Butts. Tore his MCL. That's a bummer for Jimmy. It's good news for the Bulls, but also makes me like really doubt that I don't think we can win a game we're supposed to win. But if we do, look out, Boston. I'll tell you what. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Are we going to be back next week? Let's see. What's going on next week? League of Comic Geeks, new comics. Next week, Ultimate Spider-Man here with Owen Likes Comics. I already said that. Yes, we'll be back next week talking Ultimate Universe. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And as always, enjoy the comics.